Good morning. Today is Friday. It's the first one in March. That would be the third.
Good answer.
That's right. The Ides of March don't count. These are the threes of March. But we're just as lucky because Miles Slattery is with us this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, is that a City of Eureka or is that a San Francisco Giants blazer you have on? The colors are strangely identical.
It is, but I am not a baseball fan.
I know. That's why I'm kind of poking the bear a little bit here. Have you seen that stupid movie?
Cocaine Bear?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's a classic. That's going straight to
How can it be a classic after a week? And you know what they're going to come out with? Honest Real.
Heroin Bunny.
No. Meth Gator.
That's not a bad call right there. Are you the producer?
No. It's either Gator or Crocodile.
You're being serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, that's
and
sweet.
It's like, this is...
It's kind of like when they had Jaws and then they went to Piranhas.
No. This is like that Breaking Bad and they glorify making meth.
Yeah.
This is a whole different arena for me. But you've seen it already, huh?
No, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
I won't even ask why. Geez, are you ready for why do we say that?
Yes.
Okay. Why do we say punch? And this is, let me see if it's physical or if it's liquid. It's liquid.
Oh, so they call it like a fruit punch. I'm going to say the way that they made the drink is they put the fruit there and they punched it through in order to
stuffed it through a sieve?
To juice it, yes.
All right. Long before writer Rudyard Kipling helped the English-speaking world become acquainted with India, Britain mastered the land and lived in almost royal style during the early decades of its domination. In some northern districts, newcomers found a native drink so pleasing that they swore it surpassed anything available in the court of the Queen. Inquiry revealed that its base was alcohol made from rice. Okay. So perhaps some of your high school experiences are a little closer to the original. Tea, lemon, and sugar combined to flavor it, and water was added to dilute the potent native alcohol, arak. From a Hindi word for the number five, the British used punch to designate the beverage compound of five ingredients. Long after the original recipe for it was abandoned and then forgotten, the name still survives. These days, it may designate a refreshing bowl that includes as many as 8 or 10 components, or as few as 3 or 4. And apparently now alcohol will be part of it in the Slattery household.
I know how to say five in another language.
Yeah. Way to go. It'll come in handy for you.
Yes.
So, budget time, huh?
We're doing the mid-year on Tuesday, and then we're going to budget soon.
Which means you've already played with it. What does it look like?
We're okay. It's not great. We had a lot of, it was a lot better outlook prior to the last few quarters. But these last few quarters have come in low.
All you have to do is pay attention to the national news for that.
Well, but we were doing different than that before that. I mean, it was going down and we were going up. Not up, but we were had a surplus. So
right.
This last few, we...
But auto sales were off. I know they've come back the last month.
Exactly.
But, yeah. I mean, that's almost a bad pun. So I'll go with it. Mm-hmm. It's a driver for a lot of the sales tax.
Typically,
big
yeah.
ticket items.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not selling them, that's tough to make up with selling bubble gum.
Yeah, we didn't take it as hard as... others in our area, but you know, we were overall for the year, I think we were, I think, 800K below in the sales tax, but then our property tax, we had a conservative estimate on what we were going to pull in for property tax, and so it pretty much was a wash. So
that's the reassessment that Howie does.
I'm sure it's because of when you sell the property, then that's the only time we don't go out and do them. The county doesn't
right.
go out and do them all. But
yeah, right, just the 2%
the turnover of property.
Okay.
And I think that we just do a conservative projection from the beginning just so that we have a little cushion.
Right. So home sale turnover
mm-hmm.
allows things to be reset from
yeah.
78 or sooner.
Yes, exactly.
It seems like this time of the year is when a lot of the state associations get together. When does let's see, I can use the acronym, but I'm not going to. League of California Cities. Yeah. When do you guys get together?
It's Cal Cities now.
It's not LECA anymore?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Cal Cities.
I like LECA. It kind of give me a nice visual.
They are getting together, I believe. Councilmember Bowers Scott went to a legislative... he was supposed to go, but he couldn't get out. That's right. So he was supposed to leave last week and couldn't get out. We do have some conferences that are come up around this time, mainly for our elected officials.
Were they I'm sure you got the information feedback also, regardless of whether or not you were able to be there. What's the tenor statewide?
It's not... The house isn't falling or anything, but it's not as rosy as it looks, prior to this. I was super surprised over the previous quarters, other than quarter two and three of last year. We were doing pretty well, We've only had negative from the previous year the last two quarters. We were down, I think it was 5% and then 3% the last two quarters. Unfortunately, the county took a much bigger hit than that.
Right down south. Well, 3 and 5 kind of sounds like you're treading water until you allow what the inflation has done. Mm-hmm. Now you're closer probably to 10 to 15% behind.
Pretty much, but the way that we've
it just is.
It, yeah.
Yeah, but when you hear the number, a lot of people go, oh, okay, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Then look at your buying power. Whoops. Wait a minute. It's a little bit different.
Well, and we've, once again, I'll say that our finance director, Elaine Millar, has done a really good job in making sure that we're not what I call being on the we plan, where we see these surpluses and we take these surpluses as an opportunity to buy new toys or provide new services. We're holding on to that.
Oh, WEE, so. Not WE.
No.
Yeah, no. I did. Remember, this is a phonetic
roller coaster ride.
This is a phonetic medium here.
Yes.
So when you say we, it can mean all kinds of things. Yes.
I'm raising my hands when I say we.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, don't forget to duck. We're coming into a turn. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian Coconut Water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's Homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery, city manager in Eureka. Homeless camp? Tent camp? What's that?
Authorized.
You know how we're going to play this game out.
Yeah.
But why don't you give the profile on the background?
Well, I think, it's been discussed a lot, and we've done many iterations. That's what's a little bit frustrating for me is that there are those out there that act as though that, we haven't done this and we have done it. Betty's Blue Angel Village is an example of an authorized encampment. It has structures, but that same type of facility could be established as long as we have the parameters in place to ensure that, some of those concerns that may be by adjacent property owners or by the community are addressed. We've had an emergency shelter ordinance in place. We had a resolution in 2016, and we switched it to an ordinance in 2021. We've had the ability to establish these for a long period of time. From my perspective, I think it's really to make sure that we can have enough space. It's counterintuitive to a lot, but because of the federal laws that have been established and the lawsuits that have happened, everybody who have an issue with homeless need to demonstrate that they have the capacity to accommodate all of your community members with a roof over their head. And so,
now, when you say all,
that's
a pretty broad brush, particularly when you have segments that refuse.
Well, so there's different definitions. I mean, when you look at, there's the McKinney-Vento Act, which has a definition for being unsheltered, and that is a pretty broad definition. That includes people living in hotels, people living on couches, people living in cars, people living in, and then there's, you know.
So it's a misnomer.
It's not a misnomer, but it's just a
unsheltered
definition.
Means no roof, right?
Well, no, but that's, they're just calling them homeless. So that's a homeless definition, is that, you're basically without a primary residence. You don't have a home of your own. Then unsheltered is exactly what it is unsheltered. And so what happens is the county does a point in time count. It's done by volunteers. And because of that aspect and some of the concerns potentially for issues that may arise, it's done in a way where those numbers are inflated because you're not doing an individual one-on-one and actually having contact with them. There's
more
ways
of an estimate.
So what it is you go by and you see a camp with a tent. You're not going to be asking these volunteers to go knock on the door and say, hey, how's it going? So they basically count that as a certain number of individuals, and then they do it for different situations. And so that number tends to be a lot higher. Our police department does an annual survey. They're at free meal every day. They're out in all of our properties.
That number is pretty different from the other number, isn't it?
It is. We're 250, 260 when we did it in 2022. We'll do it again in 2024. The county's numbers fluctuated, between 400 and 600. I think the last one was 500.
So their estimate is over twice?
This year, it's about twice.
What your observation or the city's
what
observations
the survey
are?
Is, yes. But now I'm not saying that they're exactly right, because I'm sure they don't hit everybody. So it's somewhere between those two numbers. So if we look at it like that, and we can provide adequate spaces for those folks to make sure that they have a place to go to, then we can start addressing some of the ancillary issues that come from encampments and those type of things. And so that's the intent. We've really increased the number of spaces, and we need to increase more. And
so this is more, this is like an expansion of Betty's Village? Is that,
that
what
would be
the
ideal.
Model is?
That would be ideal. It doesn't necessarily need to be, they call them, tiny villages or whatever. It doesn't need to be a hard structure or prefab modules. It can be tents.
I guess the thing that is
membrane
less offensive for a lot of us is that it's monitored, it's clean, they have to have certain behaviors in order to stay there. Not regulated, but monitored, I guess would be a good phrase, rather than this, I'll be nice, other examples.
Well,
we see throughout the area that are not maintained, that are not monitored, that just are.
We'll need to do that. I mean, that's the one thing is it's not necessarily, behaviors and stuff like that. We need to make it as low barrier as possible. Some of the biggest issues that we have and what will happen.
But then you get drug usage in there.
Well, no, you don't. I mean, definitely you can't do things that break the law.
It's not illegal.
About pets, couples. Right now, we don't have shelter space where you can be a couple and go in there and be there. We don't have now. And
are there many?
Oh yeah, definitely. Pets, there's even more.
Pets, sure.
I mean, that's another barrier that needs to be addressed. So I mean, when we set something up like this, we want to be able to accommodate those things so that we can have a place for those individuals that have that situation, because
and have the dog's health taken care of and sanitary
services. I mean,
situations.
That's what we did that at Betty's when we first started at Third and Commercial, the Blue Angel Village. We provided those services to the folks that were coming there, and so those are the type of services that I'm sure you watched the meeting. But those are the services that I was talking about. Is we would provide our social services programming as well as other services to help the folks that are there.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Miles Slattery. So, Miles, with the, what is it being called, this encampment or structure or facility or what?
They call them sanctioned camps, so it can be...
Sanctioned
or authorized camps. You know, we still need to abide by the laws. We have a lot of variances that are allowed for because we're under the Shelter Crisis Ordinance. And my point is not... You know, there's those who think that there's, you know, roadblocks being put up there. You want to make the situation better for the folks that are out there. So, you know, some of the discussion was about, hey,
that's all folks. That's the entire community, not just this slice.
No, I think everybody wants to make it better for them. And I completely agree with that. But I don't think that just saying, hey, this is a place where you can go is making it better for them. It's not making it any better for them if we're just saying, hey, we're going to say you can do it right here, but you're still living in a tent. You're still exposed to the elements. There's not anything there that's making the lot in life better for these individuals.
Who says that?
That's what needs to happen. If we're going to do this, there needs to be a place for them to go that is going to make this, with sanitation facilities, with warming devices, with those type of things. Putting people in tents and putting it there is not making their lot in life better. There needs to be something more than that.
I'm sure you're familiar with Denver and some of the other communities in the country that have tried different approaches. Here, the equivalent of a condo. Here's your and it gets trashed out. Yeah. You know, there's going to be some that it just doesn't work for. Period, end of story. Whether they can't or they won't, leave that aside. So once this thing is in place, and you spent whatever you spent for the infrastructure and this, and the grinding and the, you know, the siting of this facility, and people aren't there, and we still see the tents next to the roads and the garbage that gets thrown out all over the place, or the shopping carts that are abandoned with all kinds of weird things in it. What do you do then?
Well, I mean, I can't predict what will happen, but I can say that the reason why
well, you know, there's going to be some.
Yeah.
And those are probably the problem ones. So what can you do then?
You do the care, and then you have a stick. There is an ability to put a stick there. Now, I mean, there's a lot of situations where you may not want to use the stick when you have people that have mental health issues. What you try and do for them is you try and get them the services they need. That's why we're starting this mental health program and having a response team that is going to be in the mental health realm.
But is there capacity to handle? I mean, you look at Sempervirens. And that's
We're trying to do it so that they don't get to an emergency situation where they get in there. So we're out there, we're meeting them wherever they're at, we're giving them the services that they need so it doesn't become a crisis situation. The main reason why we did this is, A, to free up the EPD so they can do the responsibilities that they're meant to do and not necessarily the ones that deal with mental health. The other big component is to make sure that we don't, the burden that's being put on our emergency room and the burden that's being put on our mental health facilities is to avoid it from getting into that crisis situation. If we have constant contact with them, follow up with these individuals, their, you know, likelihood of getting to a situation where it's an emergency and, you know, they need to be detained or they need to be put into some facility, and whether that's the emergency room or Sempervirens, that's what we're trying to avoid. So we're not doing that.
Is it going to cut down on the wandering wounded on the sidewalks that have
100%
us feeling so goofy?
100%. So we have two mental health workers right now, and then we have our managing mental health clinician, Jacob Rosen. And I know he's a big fan of your show, so hi, Jacob. That was sarcasm, by the way.
I'm back on my chair.
And so that's... The intent, so we've been up and running for about a month. We're starting to deal with dispatch and how we're going to get dispatch in order to recognize situations that are appropriate for these people to go to.
And there's capacity
for
those services for these folks. Are they being
right now
required to go there, or is it optional and they can say no?
No, so what we're hoping is that, so let's we got a situation and, you know, somebody's having an episode and they're scaring people because they're having an episode. Now, typically that's not truly a safety issue. They're just having an episode. So we send somebody out there, have a discussion with them, de-escalate the situation, and they can be there to make sure that it doesn't get to us. Because you have people who don't know how to deal with these situations, and the only alternative is, okay, I can't calm this person down. I can't deal with them. I need to put him into the car and take him somewhere. I need to take him either to Semper Virens, or I need to 5150 at Semper Virens, or I need to take him to the emergency room. And during COVID, it was a huge, huge, and a huge issue that there were so many people in our emergency room dealing with mental health issues and taking up beds that it was taking away from the ability for other people who needed it for physical health situations.
Well, and hurting staff too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. There's a bunch of that. Has this program been successful anywhere else in the country that you're aware of?
The encampments or the...
Yeah, approach that the city council is looking at doing.
Yes, and it very much follows and mimics the stuff that we've had and the lessons that we've learned in trying to do this. I mean, we've done the rotating encampments where it was not... it was sanctioned, but there was no oversight. We did that when
you need to have management,
and it was really, really scary. And it wasn't so bad; it was bad for the community. It was bad for the community in a sense. But the biggest problem was that it wasn't safe for the people that were there. We had so many calls for service and a lot of really bad things going on here because there was no oversight. And that's the bigger concern: is when you do these things, you want to make sure that the people that are going there are going to be safe. And so, having those...
Does that take a higher priority? Or I thought everybody would be treated the same. Safety is safety is safety, whether it's this population, that population, any population.
Oh, 100%.
So when you indicated that this group was more, is that really what the concern was? Is that these folks get more attention than just regular folks also?
No, not more attention. It was so we set up the rotating camps every 2 weeks. We were sending them for the Del Norte parking lot,
you interloper,
and the Washington Coster, and then on Marina Way, and we were rotating it. And every 2 weeks we'd do that, and it was our responsibility. It was our property. And when we get these many calls for services, I think we did it for 6 months, and we realized it wasn't tenable. And then you look at the model that we did with Betty and. All of the concerns that came up, you remember when G-Cop was doing it at 3rd and Commercial and then it ended up down at Washington Coster. We had all of the businesses at Washington Coster. I'm sure it's not, peaches and cream, but those concerns that they brought up at Washington Coster, it's been a successful program.
Does the city routinely reach out to the Schmidt-Bowers and the Thrifties and the Dons and the folks that are there? Say, how is it going?
Yeah, well, I mean, not now. I mean, it's been there for so long. But, I mean, back when we did it, we continually did that and made sure that there wasn't issues. And the operator has been a good job of making sure that it hasn't been an issue.
And I suspect that that's probably the key.
Yeah.
That on-site
that's
person.
That's not the only cop, because Betty is wonderful, but Betty has, certain barriers that we need to remove. And Betty has a perfect place for this, because... not any situation is the same, and we need to figure out as many situations that will accommodate as many people as possible.
It's 8:44.
You went way over time.
That's all right. The duck has flown.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, a couple times this week I've decided to walk along the waterfront. The old ice plant. Thing is ringed off with fence. It's got razor wire, and it's got five tents and people living inside of it.
Yeah.
How can that be?
So that was, Hunter used to own it, I believe. And
The
person next to it is Sanford. Sanford, it's funny you should say that, but the property right next to it, Sanford just met with the Coastal Commission, and I hope Jack, I'm not saying anything out of line, but the Coastal Commission met with him. He's looking at rebuilding that dock on the property to the west of the old ice plant. The ice plant property was bought years ago by somebody from out of town. That person was probably given misinformation about what could happen there, and they had intended originally to put in like an army surplus store or something.
You mean so it's just kind of sitting there right
so, yeah,
now?
And so now there's a local person that has kind of partnered with them, and they're looking at doing something there.
But in the meantime, because it's private property, you guys can't do any enforcement inside it?
Well, we do. So what we do is it becomes a code enforcement issue, and it takes a while, and then we work with the property owner. That's exactly what
I was even trying to figure out how they get in there.
At 6 and B. So they're working on it. We've been in contact with them, with the property owner, and they'll address it, and we'll have to go through and work with them on a development there. They're very interested in doing something there.
So there's some stuff percolating. It's not going to...
I mean, it's been percolating for a long time.
Oh, okay.
It's just being able to get... a big thing.
I mean, the pampas grass is going very nicely.
Yeah.
If that was the concept of landscaping.
Coastal-dependent industrial is a zoning designation for both of those properties. Because of how restrictive it is, it's very difficult to site a project there. It has to be totally reliant upon water, and having the facilities that are adjacent to the water not being functional makes it difficult to do that. So
speaking of siting, mm-hmm. where are you looking at this homeless camp or whatever?
I'm thinking
authorized camping.
Boone between No, but back to the other thing. We're working with the Coastal Commission right now. Well, we've already submitted and we finalized our local coastal program update. It is it still has CDI designation, but that CDI designation is going to provide for some other uses, and I think it will really help with properties like this so that it's
Along the waterfront, there would be some more action.
Yeah, some either conditional use, stuff like that.
Right. So you're not looking at waterfront property for this homeless camp?
I told you Boone Street.
And I'm pushing back just slightly.
And we're not looking to set. We want it to be open to everybody. I mean, I think that when we talked about the thing, the coast...
Well, you're not going to get too many fifth wheelers pulling into town in their RVs in the tourist season pulling in.
It's difficult for in the coastal zone, like we went over this in the meeting, because of the Coastal Act and the other things associated, that it's very hard to site an emergency shelter in those areas unless it's already principally permitted for like an encampment or for a camp. So there's not a lot of opportunities in the coastal zone. In the inland zone, basically any property could be used for this. And so
what size footprint are you looking at? Is it a block, two blocks?
It could
20-30 park?
It could be multiple, you know. Well, 20-30 park is going to be tore up pretty soon here, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of private property. The faith base, I know that Todd, Chief Jarvis, has been reaching out to the faith base community and looking at what kind of opportunities are there. That is a much more easily fast-tracked process, because if they're willing to allow them inside and allow them to do the evening, you know, stayovers just as like a warming situation, then that's something that doesn't require all these hoops to be jumped through.
Well, either that's going to get church attendance up significantly this weekend to find out what's going on, or they're going to run for the hills. Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody on Monday.